Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go. It is a Monday. It is hour number two. It's great to have you in. Fox Sports Radio, FS1 right here. Joy Taylor is joining me. Calling right, calling wrong in a couple of minutes. We'll keep you abreast on all the college football stuff happening. I am told during the break, made a couple calls, the SEC is fighting down in the South to maintain their season, maybe a losing battle, but everybody else is, and I think it's the wrong decision. I think they should play. I think kids are safer. It's universities. I do. I'm just looking at some pictures online here during the break. I think universities do a really good job. I mean, they're not the bubble. They're not the NBA. They don't have $150 million to do it. But I think 13 Big Ten schools are going to have students. Why not have football? Who can figure this stuff out? There's this, you know, the funny thing about this, Joy, there's so much hypocrisy. So planes are jammed with people.
Right.
Just jammed. American Airlines, every seat taken across the country in a tiny little tube, and yet you can't eat indoors at a restaurant in California, and they've tried to close beaches. I have no idea. There's no like federal mandate. It's every mayor, governor, state, restaurant, province to themselves. I've been on two airlines. They're totally different.
Well, that's why it's impossible to compare what's going on in our country to anywhere else around the world. Because essentially our country is 50 individual countries, because every state's doing what they want to do.
Yeah.
There's no centralized decision for anything. And like you've said before, with college football, there's not one person keeping track of everything that's going on and uniting the situation to put in protocols and have these hard conversations.
Yeah. All right, let's do it. Colin right, Colin wrong on a Monday. Here we go.
Where Colin was right.
I've been saying this. The Lakers aren't a championship team because they can't shoot and they can't defend the shot. They are officially the worst shooting team in the bubble. They're shooting 25% from threes, dead last. That includes every team in the bubble. They're also the worst at shooting field goals in the bubble. This is the issue. Kyle Kuzma is their number three scoring option. He averaged like 12 and a half a game, and he is wildly inconsistent from the perimeter, and I'm convinced that LeBron doesn't trust him. This is not a championship team. What it is a team with two superstars, one of which makes everything work and glossy and refined, but at some point LeBron's lost a lot of finals because he hasn't had enough help. And he simply does not have enough help here.
Where Colin was wrong.
Lakers are, by the way, 2-4 in the bubble. Where I'm wrong is Brooks Koepka. I think he's a top three global golf talent. He melted down yesterday, shot a 4-over. That was the second worst round of any golfer yesterday. And Bryson DeChambeau, who also hits the ball like an ox, I don't really buy as a top five player. I think he's fun to watch. But he was excellent yesterday, -4. So 8 strokes better than the guy I think is really built for majors, Brooks Koepka. By the way, I think they're both fascinating to watch. But Bryson, he didn't get a single break on any of his putts. And he missed every seemingly single short putt. That's the exception. And he still had a great day and finished near the top of the leaderboard.
Where Colin was right.
I said from the beginning the Pac-12 would be one of the first major conferences, if not the first, to bail, and the Big Ten would be right behind him. And according to reports today, the Pac-12 and Big Ten are going to bail on football. Why did I think this? Because you know who's winning COVID on college campuses? The academics, the school presidents, the lawyers, and the doctors. And the Pac-12 and the Big Ten are better academic conferences than the SEC and the Big 12. That's not an opinion. Go to U.S. News and World Report, top 100 public universities. And the Pac-12 and the Big 10 have stronger pushbacks from the academic side of things, and they're going to shut it down. Never forget, the first conference to shut it down was the Ivy League, and the Pac-12 and Big 10 don't see themselves as the Ivy League, but they also have schools considered public Ivies, like Wisconsin or Penn State or Michigan or Cal. As predicted, Pac-12, Big 10 appear to be shutting it down.
Where Colin was wrong.
I was so excited to watch the Pelicans in the bubble. what has happened? First of all, even in games like yesterday that were really important, they come out lethargic. Zion Williamson, who's had a really nice bubble the times he's played, said, yeah, we just didn't come to play. Lonzo Ball has been awful. He is shooting 26%. I think his field goal percentage. That could be his three or his field goal percentage. They haven't really been intense. They haven't had what appears to be kind of a strategy. They haven't played with a lot of emotion. And considering their youth, I thought they would be one of the teams that just came in and just outworked everybody. Instead, it's been Phoenix, and it's been the Nets, who don't even have half their roster.
Where Colin was right.
Kyle Love played with Cam Newton in Carolina. He confirmed last week what I had heard for several years in Carolina. They did not criticize him publicly, that Cam will struggle in New England if he can't take the criticism, because in Carolina it was understood he was the franchise. Let's not talk about bad games. Let's move on. The two things I always heard about Cam from my sources in that building: he played hurt a lot, so people respected how hard he played and how often he played hurt. But the other thing I heard is they coddled him. They babied him. No criticism. It's about Cam. Get him the right coaches. I think that's inauthentic. I think if you want, in any relationship, if you want to grow, you got to push. You got to argue. Sometimes publicly, it gets a little ugly. They just didn't do that. And Kyle Love said that wasn't the game plan in Carolina. And that's the game plan for everybody, including Tom Brady in New England.
Where Colin was wrong.
Well, the Rockets general manager Daryl Morey mocked me on Twitter over the weekend because I did not have, in my best duos in the NBA bubble, I did not have Harden and Westbrook. Now, Westbrook's a little banged up right now. It should be noted, yes, Houston is 4-1, and I didn't have in the bubble. But I think I got to give credit where credit is due. Westbrook and Harden have not only been very good on the offensive end, they've played real defense. They've played real defense. In fact, Harden currently leads the bubble in steals. And this has been kind of my knock on Harden through the years, is he's going to go down as an all-time great offensive player, but to be a great player, an MJ, a Kobe, a Duncan, you got to give something on the defensive end. Now, Magic Johnson was not a great defender, but the effort was there. Harden has been really working it on the defensive end. Westbrook and Harden. Westbrook's not a great defensive player. He played better defense. So, yeah, it was. You guys go ahead and mock me. That hurt. That was painful. But they look pretty good. 4-1.
Where Colin was right.
Jay Glazer in his mailbag, and nobody's as connected to the stars around the NFL as Glazer, said it appears that Green Bay is just going through Aaron Rodgers fatigue, and that explains why they drafted no wide receivers and drafted Jordan Love in the first round. Glazer explained there's no other way to put it. Sometimes people wear people out. Jay wasn't mean-spirited, but it was more than a subtle, nuanced take, which is they're worn out. By the way, there was a national sportscaster for years that got ripped for saying Aaron Rodgers is difficult. Who was that? Oh, wait, it was me. Glazer confirming what we believe is the truth. Aaron's a lot of work. I do think he's handled this whole Jordan Love thing brilliantly, smartly, and aggressively, not passive-aggressively, but he wears people out.
Where Colin was wrong.
What happened to the Yankees? Good God, they're 2-5 in their last seven. They haven't won a 9-inning game in over a week, and they just lost 3 of 4 to the low-budget Rays, which doesn't make any sense because the Yankees can basically buy who they want. At this point, they win when Garrett Cole pitches. For the record, Giancarlo Stanton is hurt again. Can I just ask a question about Giancarlo Stanton? He doesn't even play defense. How does a designated hitter get hurt as much as Giancarlo Stanton, who was hurt all last year, and he's hurt again this year? The Yankees blew a 3-0 lead yesterday. A lot of talent did not have, to me, that they looked like a stamp, a guaranteed lock to get into the World Series, did not have a good week.
Where Colin was right.
Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid, we've said from the beginning, it doesn't work. Let's move on. It's a Hollywood relationship. It looks good. They're fighting constantly. Well, now Ben Simmons is hurt. Oh, wait, Joel Embiid got hurt yesterday. It can't be this. Listen, they're 3-2 in the bubble with wins over Washington and Orlando. It doesn't work. The games don't work. They're both now have injury issues. Ben Simmons, as Doug Gottlieb said about 45 minutes ago, you wonder now if Ben Simmons' body is injury prone because he is tall and lanky. and scores at the rim. But this thing's a mess. I've never bought into it. I still contend their starting five and the first two off the bench are as good as any team in the East, and their season's essentially over.
Where Colin was right?
Well, last week I went in a rant. I said, if he didn't go to Weber State and play in geographically remote Portland, would we get how much better Dame is than Westbrook? Right now, Damian Lillard is probably the best player in the bubble. He scored the most total points. He's played the most total minutes. He's averaging 33 points and 9.5 assists. And unlike Harden, who has Westbrook, he's carrying this franchise. I like Nurkic. I like C.J. McCollum. Melo's a good story. So's Gary Trent Jr. Damian Lillard has the best range in the bubble. He's the best pure shooter in the bubble. He's the smallest guy in virtually every game, but carries the franchise on his shoulders. Yesterday, he had 51, and it's him. I mean, I like C.J. McCollum, but it's his team, and he remains, you know, I think in the history of the NBA, and I haven't given it great thought. Is he the greatest six-foot scorer in league history? The greatest, in offensively, is he the greatest player at exactly 6 feet tall in league history? I think the answer is yes. Colin right, Colin wrong. Peter King is around the corner. We'll update you on the Pac-12. The Big Ten appear to be headed toward canceling their seasons. I disagree, but I'm not an epidemiologist. I still contend, as Jim Harbaugh did today, you're safer on the campus in Ann Arbor than you are at home in Michigan or Ohio. But that's where we're at currently. We'll update you.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Tonight, NL East contenders face off on FS1. Freddie Freeman and the Braves take on Bryce Harper and the Phillies. The action begins at 6 Eastern on FS1 and the Fox Sports app.
Braves are a real team, so are the Phillies. Games every single night. Folks, summer and sports are in full swing. Lowe's helping me my own do-it-yourself project, a bar cart at home. Go to Lowe's.com, hashtag Lowe's Goals. Lots of time. Do yourself a favor and do-it-yourself projects at home with Dad. All right, well, we'll update you on college football. You know, one of the differences between the NFL and college football, some are saying, is the NFL in jeopardy. NFL has billionaires. Billionaires could write $25, $30 million checks to have, if not a bubble, a very, very tight daily testing protocols. Also, you know, in the NFL, players get paid. You know, they want to come back. They had an agreement. They want to get paid. So I think the NFL is different. I think you have a centralized commissioner and a centralized plan and a players' union, and players get paid, and you have billionaires. College football's always been everybody's fighting for themselves, competing against conferences. It's still remarkable to me that college football makes $2 billion a year in television revenue alone, and they've got no CEO. There's no president of college football. How in God's name is that possible? I don't get it, and I've been ranting on that for years. Peter King, NBCSports.com, three-time National Sports Writer of the Year, is joining us via the Coward Global Satellite Network. All right, so you were actually talking about, I was looking at some pictures this morning at Texas A&M and about how they had social distancing with workouts, and I'm like, well, it's about as good as you can do, I bet, at the college level. So you were actually at a camp, the Texans camp. So what was it like?
Well, actually, Colin, as I've done for the last, 5 months, I guess, when I've written, my knowledge about the NFL has been gleaned from the seventh floor of a Brooklyn apartment building, because we can't go inside team facilities right now. And so I basically wrote about a day in the life of the Texans from New York, using a lot of modern technology, using obviously the telephone, being in on some Zoom meetings. I watched Bill O'Brien conduct his morning Zoom meeting with his team, the team meeting. Colin, the amazing thing about 2020 training camp, the Houston Texans spent 1 hour together. All the rest of it is some people were in the facility. Some were, J.J. Watt sitting at home watching the team meeting. You know, and in the evening, nobody is together. It's everybody on a Zoom video conference. So the NFL world is absolutely, completely, totally different this summer than it ever has been.
You know, I said last week, and I've never predicted that. I said, you know, 16-0 is ridiculous, but I said, first of all, I don't think rookies will have a huge impact. I think veteran teams who bring back the same system, coaches, are going to have a massive advantage. I said, you know, Baltimore, because I buy into Lamar Jackson. I don't buy this argument he's going to regress. I thought he was better in the second half last year. He made fewer mistakes. I think Baltimore could go 16-0. I feel that strong, and I don't feel that with Kansas City, Peter. I don't feel that with San Francisco. I look at Baltimore, and I think they've had an unbelievable offseason. Tell us your intel on the Ravens, how they feel and how you feel going forward, which I think is the most stacked team in the league right now.
Well, we'll know if they've got a real chance in week three, quite honestly, Colin. Third week of the season, they finally get Kansas City to come to Baltimore. You know, they even though, you know, crowds probably are not going to be much, if at all, a factor this year, they get Kansas City at home this year. And maybe their toughest other game against Dallas is also at home. And otherwise, you know, they have a very reasonable schedule, you know, facing the NFC East, you know, in as their NFC conference.
Yep.
And look, I think 16-0 is obviously extremely difficult, but I think that Eric DaCosta, the GM, and this team have had not a good but a great off season. If basically you get Dobbins, the Ohio State running back, with the 55th pick in the draft, and he is pretty close in talent to the guy who 4 years ago went fourth in the draft at running back, Ezekiel Elliott. That's one thing. And then you get the guy you talked about, Pro Football Focus, before, Calais Campbell, the top-rated 3-4 defensive end in football last year. You know, they have the ability right now to be better than they were last year. And last year they were 14-2. They're much better at the receiver position.
Yes.
And I don't think they've lost very much at all on offense, with the exception of Marshall Yanda, as one of the best guards in football who retired.
You're going to have to go back to your encyclopedic knowledge of this, but Jay Glazer in his mailbag the other day, it was not so subtle. He said, listen, somebody asked him about Aaron Rodgers, and he said, listen, they've got Aaron Rodgers fatigue in Green Bay. And, I mean, listen, Howie Long always jokes, you can't have two Hall of Fame quarterbacks in the same room. One sucks all the air out of it. And he says that as Terry Bradshaw's his best friend. But there does appear to be a situation where they didn't go get a receiver. They moved up for the quarterback, and there's been articles written, my former employer did, on Aaron can be prickly in the front office, blah, blah, blah. When you go back, is this strange, or is this mostly, have there been other instances where a great quarterback is at odds a little bit with his franchise as he ages, and you can kind of sense the end coming? I mean, you don't draft somebody at quarterback in the first round, Peter, without playing him for 2 years. That's just the way it works. Go back in your encyclopedic knowledge. Has this happened before with a player as gifted as Rodgers?
Yeah, it happened in 2005 with a player as gifted as Brett Favre, you know, and, you know, it's amazing how similar it is. In 2005, the Packers were getting sick of Brett Favre telling them, essentially, oh, I'm not sure if I'm coming back this year. Now, that really started seriously that fall and the summer afterwards. I'm not sure if I'm coming back. But obviously, at the end, he wanted to keep playing. And by the time he told them I wanted to keep playing, it was too late. They had already gone to Rodgers. Now, I talked to Brian Gutekunst, the general manager, the weekend after the draft, and I'm fairly sure he hasn't changed his mind. If Aaron Rodgers plays great the next 3 years, he's not losing his job. And I think there's probably a 70% chance that Jordan Love becomes the quarterback of the future for the Packers, and Aaron Rodgers finishes elsewhere. But I also think there's probably a 30 or 40% chance that Jordan Love becomes Garoppolo. Now, again, clearly, I think there's a better chance that they develop Jordan Love for the next couple of years, and in 2022 or 23, he starts playing. But I don't think that's any sure thing.
Peter King joining us. Does college football being canceled, and that appears, Peter, in the next 48 hours to be our reality, does it impact the NFL in your opinion?
In a huge way, because, you know, Daniel Jeremiah tweeted today, and I thought it was a great tweet, that if college football is canceled, then basically next year's combine is probably the most important combine ever. And I think he's absolutely right. I wrote last week in my column, or actually Caleb Farley wrote in my column, the Virginia Tech Corner, wrote about opting out and why he did it and how dangerous he felt football was this year. But Caleb Farley is also very, very open to the fact that he knows that teams are going to not only have questions about him off the field for opting out, but also on the field because he won't play football this coming year. And so he'll basically, you know, be on somebody's team in 2021, and he'll play football basically for the first time in 19, 20 months.
Yeah.
So that is going to be difficult. Colin, that's the biggest issue. All the time off that players are going to have between their last year in college football and their first year in the NFL.
Well, the good news about that, Peter, though, they won't get dinged up. I mean, I heard people saying, well, Trevor Lawrence at Clemson, what if he doesn't play? And I laughed and I thought, what, he's not going to go number one? Like literally, he's not throwing the football for the next 19 months. I still think if you're a talented kid, if your coaches give you a GM calls and the coach said, I love him, he played hard. You know, Peter, this draft is a 50% bust rate past the first round anyway. I don't think it'll hurt kids. I really don't.
Well, the big question, Colin, you know, are some conferences going to play college football starting in February or March? That, to me, is the big question. And if it is, and if the NFL keeps their draft on schedule, then you might be drafting, you know, late in the college football season or right at the end of the college football season. Yeah. So I think, you know, college football's future as it pertains to the NFL is so far up in the air we can't even see it.
Good stuff, Peter King, NBC Sports. Thank you, Peter. Appreciate it.
All right, Colin.
You bet. Joel Klatt will join us next hour. He's always got strong opinions on college football. I think he wants them to play. Big Ten commissioners, I'm reading a story here just in, do prefer spring college football season. I'll get into that. I'll have an opinion on that coming up. But first, Joy Taylor with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Cam Newton has a fresh start and some big shoes to fill in New England, but he's ready to prove that he can still be as successful as he starts his journey with the Patriots.
I mean, it's just a breath of fresh air, to be honest with you. And a challenge that, you know, I have to accept each and every day, but no challenge is ever going to be greater than a personal challenge that I challenge myself personally. We all know what that was and what that is, and it needs no mention. But yet at the same time, for me, I think I got my hands full with trying to learn as much as possible in a short period of time, and that's what I'm trying to do.
You know, I think he's pretty much bought into the Patriot way since he's arrived in New England. He's
not like saying, they give you a choice.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it's not, you know, I think there was some... Well, certainly we talked about it. I didn't think that this was necessarily a fit.
Yeah.
But Cam has clearly completely changed his approach to everything. He's taking all the criticism and doubters and, you know, critiques that he's gotten over the past couple years and channeled them into this, you know, chip on the shoulder mentality that New England loves. Every single year they come up with some bulletin board material, somebody put them too low on a list or something, even though they're favored to win the Super Bowl every single year. Somehow they manufacture this personal outrage that keeps them at that level. But when you do have that kind of success, you do have to do that, because otherwise you get comfortable and it all falls apart. I don't know what to expect from New England with all the opt-outs this year. I think we probably need to temper expectations.
But yeah.
I do think that Cam is going to be approaching this season differently than he has in the past, and he's healthier now as well.
If he's healthy and is just productive, let's just get wins and stats out.
Yeah.
Scouting, you can't just look at stats. I mean, right? If you just look at him and you're like, he's still 6'6", his mechanics are cleaned up, he played hard, he'll get a contract. It really comes to, in fact, I would argue his personality will benefit him. If he's healthy, that's one thing. But if he buys into the system, the messaging, because remember I told you about Cam, I said, I actually liked that he kept putting videos out. I'm like, that's really, that matters. That matters. It's like, he was really into it. People believe what you show them or tell them. Cam was telling me, I'm all in on this. If Cam buys into it, I don't even care what his record. I don't care if they go 4-12. If he buys into it and he's healthy, he'll get a contract.
Yeah, the story to me in New England is not what happens with the team this year. It's what happens with Cam Newton. Now, when he wasn't there, that was going to be a different situation. If they were a disaster or Stidham came out and was not great and it just looked like it was all falling apart, I would think it was kind of interesting what their long-term plan was. But Cam Newton just turned that whole situation around for them. Like, he's a legitimate player. What he's going to do in that system will benefit him long-term as far as getting a contract. So Mike McCarthy and Dak Prescott are still getting to know each other as Cowboys camp gets underway. But so far, McCarthy is happy with what he's seeing from his quarterback.
Oh, that's nice.
You know, I've really enjoyed his personality. He's very upbeat, very driven. So I would say he's kind of picked up where he's left off based off what I've been told about him, as far as how he operates. But very detailed in his preparation. He's a lot of fun to be around. I think Dak has done a great job with the time away, and I'm very pleased where he is, and very impressed.
Really interested. Their schedule, Joy, is a lot of haves and have-nots. Like 8 really tough games, mostly on the road, and then they could go 6-1 in division, and I'd be like, or 5-1 in division, and I'd be like, yeah, that's exactly, So, like, when you watch them this year, I told you last week, there's about 8 games I want to see, and they're all those, like, Rams, Chargers, Steelers. Those are the ones I'm glommed onto, because I know Dak can beat average. Can McCarthy take him to beat really good? And if he can, Dak's going to make a lot of money.
See, I think we haven't really talked that much about McCarthy because we've spent so much time talking about Dak's contract.
Yeah.
But McCarthy's actually not that boring. We talked about him a lot whenever he left Green Bay. And when this move was made for him to go to Dallas, we talked about him a lot too. I actually think that he is a much better coach than he's given credit for.
Yes.
I think that the situation in Green Bay, as we were just talking about with Jay Glazer, sometimes, personalities, after a while, a relationship, you can have success and then it just becomes too much and you both get tired of each other.
Aaron's numbers did not go up last year. Like, don't blame McCarthy for everything.
And yeah, exactly. Exactly. There's two sides to every story. The truth is somewhere in the middle. And sometimes it may lean a little more towards one side of the story.
Right.
But McCarthy did win a Super Bowl there. And I actually like this fit for the Cowboys. And if this ends up working out, I think the Cowboys are one of those teams. We're talking a lot about Tampa Bay and talking a lot about New England and, a couple other teams out there that are kind of interesting with the moves they've made. I really want to see what the Cowboys do this year, especially in that division. Finally, Devin Booker has been great in the NBA bubble, leading the Suns to a 5-0 record. And Draymond Green was a guest on TNT, and he made his hopes for Booker's future very clear.
Get my man out of Phoenix. It's not good for him. It's not good for his career. Sorry, Chuck, but they got to get Book out of Phoenix. I need my man to go somewhere where he can play great basketball all the time and win, because he's that type of player.
Are you tampering?
Maybe.
Ernie.
50 grand.
If he had said no, I wonder if he would still have been fine.
Well, what if he had said this? If I am Devin Booker, I have to strongly consider if my ownership can take me to the next level. Do you get fined for that? Because it's the way he said it. He goes, he needs to get out.
Well, that's what he meant.
That's right. But if Draymond would have just said, if I'm Devin Booker, I have to ask myself, can my owner and front office get me to the next level? I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I don't think you get fined for that.
Draymond did not have a lot of finesse on what he was saying.
No, he didn't nuance it.
He is right. That is the question there. Despite what they've done in the bubble, what Monty Williams has done with them,
somebody,
and despite the fact that Book is a star.
I read something this weekend, and I wish I had it. Goulet, did you read this for me? The owner, who was the player Phoenix wanted to draft? The front office wanted to draft somebody with Booker 2 years. Yeah, so they drafted DeAndre Ayton from Arizona because the owner, like, went there. And who was the guy they should have drafted? It was somebody great in the league right now. And I'm like, okay, that's where if
Wasn't
I'm Devin.
Jason Tatum?
No, it's Luka.
Oh, Luka.
So Phoenix wanted the front office wanted Luka, and the owner's like, give me the guy from Arizona. Can you imagine Luka and Booker together? That would be the best backcourt, honestly, potentially in league history.
Look, there's no confusion about what the you know, not even the front office, the ownership situation is
not good
with Phoenix.
It's
and we know that no matter what you put together below ownership that is that dysfunctional, because we've seen it in New York many times, it's very difficult to overcome that. That said, I do like the way that they're trending. I like what they've done. And obviously, Booker is incredible. But he's under contract till 2024. So even Draymond getting fined for this, it's like, when is this even going to be an option? Like, it's I understand that there's you don't want players going out there, but like he's on TNT. He's going to talk about this, and he's saying the truth that everyone knows.
I don't think it's fair for the NBA, and I'm dead serious. Adam Silver, I know you're not watching, but you're in Orlando, you're not doing anything. You probably are watching. If you invite an athlete on TNT,
right,
you can't fine him for having an opinion when asked a question. That's not fair to Draymond. You can't invite me on a network. I say the question your guys ask me, and you're like, that's fine. You can't. It's not Draymond's green to sanitize his opinion on TNT.
Yeah, it's very unfair to Draymond. I mean, and he tweeted a bunch of laughing emojis. He's clearly not upset about it, although 50 grand is 50 grand.
Yeah.
But I agree with you. Like, I don't know how you can put him on that show and then find it. Now, if he had said, come to Golden State.
No, that's different.
Okay.
You can't lobby. Like,
yeah, you can't lobby, but he's just saying what everyone knows.
Yeah. They should rescind that or give it to charity or something.
I think all the fines do go to charity.
All right, there you go. I should open up a charity. There's a lot of fines out there. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
Coming up, 5 reasons why the NFL is not college football, and we will have an NFL season. But first, around the corner, spring football and college football. What I like about it and what scares me to death. That's coming up.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Geico right now offering an extra 15% off motorcycle, car, and RV policies. 15% off October 7th is the deadline, though. Get on it. So let's start with college football. Big Ten commissioners, it appears, are going to cancel the season. They prefer spring football. I'd watch spring football. It's not preferred, but I'd watch it. It would be fine. Let me tell you the two things I don't worry about. Number one, people say, well, the top 50 to 100 players will just bow out and not play. All right. That's not even 1%. It'll hurt Clemson, Alabama, Ohio State. All right. Oklahoma. All right. Those teams have the best staffs and the best backup players anyway. So if you're worried about Alabama winning another title, shame on you. The second thing, and I swear to God, some of you in the media, sports media, don't have kids. This idea that if you play a reduced spring schedule, 8 games in January, February, first week or two of March, it's too much football. They won't be ready 6 months later on Labor Day. Oh, good hell, what are you talking about? 20-year-old bodies recover. You could drink every night in college for a month. I ripped up my ankle in college. I'd play basketball 24 hours later. Bodies heal quickly. All you'd have to do is reduce spring football. If you play in the spring, just get spring. You don't need spring football. Just like in the NFL, gotta have preseason. We eliminated preseason. We're going to be fine. Just get rid of spring football. You play until March 7th or 8th or whenever the season ends. Then you have a very light fall camp in like August. And then you play next fall. They can handle it. I don't worry about either of those things. Now, here's what I do worry about. Spring football is not in the spring. It says it is, but spring football would be playing in the last week of December, all the way through January and February, and probably the first week of March, maybe the second week of March. That's when it's cold. Virus, COVID plus cold plus influenza, the flu season, is just a nightmare if we don't have a vaccine. So my takeaway is, you think it's problematic now. We've got cases and death totals plummeting in America. And everybody's freaking out. If college football was organized, which they're not, they would have played in August and September and wrapped the season up by 2 weeks before Thanksgiving. But they're not, and so they didn't. But it's spring football, I'd watch it. What worries me is the further you push it off, the more it's in the winter, then influenza in this country kills 50,000 people a year, and it's punitive to younger people. The virus is not. So if you would have a punitive young person flu season combined with COVID, which is bad for middle-aged and up, it'd be a mess in this country if you don't have a vaccine. Okay, now there are those who have suggested, I was watching another network today, oh, Lord. They're already jumping at the other place, too. We're not going to have an NFL season. It's just not going to happen. There's a lot of up. Let me give you four reasons why the NFL is a lot different than college football. And the one is obvious. You can figure this out. They have billionaires. Every team's owned by a billionaire. Billionaires could write $25 million checks for each team if they wanted to. I mean, every team makes over $200 million a year just on TV revenue. Just on that. And they're billionaires when they buy the team. To qualify. So Baltimore's owner could write a $25 million just for him, not even league help. And you're testing Lamar Jackson six times a week. He's walking through, you know, this spray and that spray, and everybody is socially distanced, and they can just pay for it. Colleges do not have, yeah, Ohio State does. Colleges don't have that kind of money. The second thing is, everybody here is on the same page. The players collectively agreed with the owners on the testing and the protocol. They had an opt-out time. Players, you know, they have what they call these like trackers, these watches. So, I mean, literally, like, Bob, get away from Jim. Russell Wilson, get away from DK Metcalf. Like, they got you tracked on this stuff and where are your movements and who are you around. And if you're standing, we had Tom Telesco on the Chargers last week. He's like, I know if I'm standing around somebody too long. You don't have that at college. Number three is NFL players get paid. They got a lot to lose here. These players, you know, it always cracks me up when it's like players, owners, they're not enemies. They're business partners. That's why the NBA bubble is important, because the players want to get paid and should. You don't want to give the owners all the power. So players negotiated with the owners here. They share revenue. Now, you can argue the players should get more revenue. That's a different show and a different time. But they share revenue. This is really important for the players. They want to, you know, you look at Patrick Mahomes' contract. You do get that's what like two guys a team make, big money. Most of the guys in the NFL can get cut. They don't make big guaranteed money. 90% of NFL players, they got bills to pay. And the fourth reason is NFL players go home, often to big homes. They're often married. They hang out with their family. College kids go to tiny dorms at state-funded universities in little pie-shaped rooms. And there's kids, and they make bad decisions, and you don't know who's been here. Or NFL players are more mature. They're older. They often go to moderately sized or big homes. And the reality is football players, for whatever reasons, they start families usually sooner than other sports athletes. So you go facility, you go home, you go back to facility, you go home. You've only got eight road games. And again, in planes owned by billionaires. Last year, if you remember this, the flu broke out for the Patriots last year. They flew two planes. They went, okay, the billionaire said, let me get my other plane. And they flew, and you could just fly two planes, and you could. So the idea that college is pro, and the other thing is college has no CEO. NFL's got Roger Goodell. It matters. Centralized voice. Okay, so Joel Klatt's going to be stopping by last hour. The Klattster gets all worked up, and he is fired up about, you know, what we got going in college football. We'll give you the very latest on that. I will say this, Joy. Did you watch any of the golf yesterday?
A little bit, yeah.
I got to tell you something. I've always been, if Tiger or Phil Mickelson are playing, I'm watching. Yesterday, no Tiger, no Phil Mickelson. I was absolutely glued to the TV. You got all these big hitters, and they're cocky, and they're alphas, and they're big hitters, and they're Brooks Koepka, Bryson DeChambeau. Now, Dustin Johnson's 36, so he's a little older, but when I was sitting there watching the PGA Championship yesterday, it was the first time I remember being glued for 3 hours with no Tiger and no Phil Mickelson. I've got to tell you, golf's in good shape. I don't need every golf tournament to be the Phoenix Open. But the Masters can be a little stiff, a little cocky, a little alpha.
Personalities make all the difference.
Yes.
And that's an individual sport.
And you got these guys hitting at 370 off the tee. I thought golf this weekend was unbelievable. Joel Klatt, Hour 3 next.